where to start? I usually sort of have like a little bit of an opening gambit, and actually I was thinking when we were singing that first song, Found in You, there's a really lovely line in there about being moved into silence, and it's something I'm not great as a natural, I'm a natural extrovert, so I like being around people, I like talking to people, I like being with people, but there also is a side of me that actually I just need quiet and I need space and I need to be on my own. Probably a bit like Jesus, really. You need to go away to a quiet place. And I'm learning that more and more, that actually in the quiet place, away from that noise and clutter that Pauline spoke about, we need to get to those places of silence and solitude. It's very, very biblical. Jesus did it often. And I would just encourage you to get to those places. But anyway, so today, this is a bit of a funny old journey, the way this word's come out. If you remember a few weeks back, probably a couple of months maybe, I shared a couple of words that a mentor of mine shared via our community group that I'm a part of. And she said that we need to be moved from being phenomenally challenged, which is really hard to say, phenomenally, to being incredibly rewarded. And that sense where we need to move from that place where, yeah, life's hard. People are going through some tough stuff. There's adversity all over the place. And we need to move from the place where our adversity actually becomes an opportunity to us. And that's where we're going to be heading today. So the title of this, and it'll become evident as I go through, is called Full Benefit. Adversity is an opportunity. So this all sort of really stems out of Dave and I over the last probably couple of months, because we pretty much binge watched it. I've been watching a series called SEAL Team on Sky. Some of you may have watched it, some of you may not have. It's right up our street. If you like NCIS and all of those kind of military vibe kind of series, This is the one for you. And we've loved this probably more than NCIS, actually. It's been fab watch, and we've watched every episode now, so we're eagerly awaiting when series 7 comes out. And the reason we've loved it is we've really grown to love the characters in it, because you get to know these people like they're real people, and we talk about them as if they're real people, and you get to know all their backstories, and you sort of go on the journey with them. But also what we like about it is it's a military thing. We quite like military things and kind of the makeup, just because actually one of our closest friends is in the British Army, and we like to understand the military and all of the things about it. And okay, some of these series probably aren't so close to reality, and Andrew would probably say that to us, but we like it because we can get into what the military is about. But also what's great about SEAL Team, and probably is true of probably more so even than I would say probably in our own military, is this real sense of family. It's all about the brotherhood, and every, you know, it literally is this group of people are their brothers, and they're covenanted to one another, and it's just a wonderful thing to watch. But also what is really great is the material provides an awful amount of good stuff to preach off of the back of. Only because they use these sound bites or little mottos for doing what they do. And here's just a few of them. So they will say to each other, "The only easy day was yesterday." They'll say, "We're never out of the fight." They talk about embracing the pain. They talk about, and this is often one I've used, I didn't realise it had come out of a military context, was getting comfortable being uncomfortable. The other thing they'll say to one another is, "Don't run to your death," which again is really interesting to watch when you watch it, because actually when you watch how they enter the battle, they don't charge in. They go in very measured, very, actually smooth is slow and slow is fast is another thing they'll say, is everything's done at a very measured pace. They're all in all the time. They'll say to each other, "Always improve your fighting position." And then it's probably not just a Navy SEAL thing, is just, I think it might be more of a general thing, is they'll say, "I've got your six," which means I've got your back. So 6 o'clock being behind me here, 12 o'clock being there, "I've got your six," meaning I've got your back. And you'll hear these things. And it's just been really interesting to get into these things. So every now and then I'll say to Dave, oh, I've got your six or whatever. And we'll just start using these things in normal conversation. But one of the ones that captured my attention was this phrase, full benefit. And what that means is when something isn't going so well for them, they will look at each other and they will go, full benefit. And that means that what they're going to do is, out of this place where stuff isn't going right or it sucks, is we are going to get full benefit out of that situation that we have placed ourselves into. And what this does, and I'm guessing on the real battlefield, is it shifts their mind from being in a place where this is awful and all of the rest of it, to actually this is now a place of opportunity where some stuff's going to happen. And I'm guessing they need to do that pretty immediately, don't they? That shift in mindset needs, you can't hang around when you're on the battlefield. Otherwise it'll have really bad consequences. So I was like thinking about this, and then thinking about this in the context of phenomenally challenged to whatever it was, I can't remember it now, but I'll come back to it, incredibly rewarding, is that in the same way that they shift their mindset, we have to do that in our adversity. And Scripture tells us this, doesn't it? It talks about in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. In the Passion Translation, it talks about a total reformation of how you think, that by the testing you may discern that what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So for me, this is all about that mindset shift from going from the place where adversity is, you know, it's real, it's painful, it can be hard, and it can mean different things for different people. So adversity for me at this moment in time will be very different from what some of you are going through. And I know some of you are going through some incredibly difficult, painful, traumatic things. So I'm not dismissing what you're going through. I'm just helping us to maybe look at what we're in and maybe taking it to a place where we can work through this together, so that we can see benefit for the future. So the pain or the adversity or the thing you're in at the moment will be a benefit in some way to the future. And I think, you know, there are many evidences in Scripture where people have faced adversity. They've had to dig deep. Often really, really difficult, highly challenging, dangerous, no hope to be found situations. And for me, none is more powerful than the woman afflicted with hemorrhages in Luke 8. What an amazing story of a woman who lived in incredible adversity. And I've mentioned before, haven't I, the Chosen series. Again, we binge watch, we're waiting for the next series. It really shows this story in quite a moving way, because we don't hear too much about her backstory, do we, in Scripture? We hear about the bit where we hear little bits, but it gives you almost that full picture of that isolation, that shame she would have felt in society, what she had to do, what that looked like, how people responded to her in that situation. It's a really powerful thing to look at. So I'm going to read the passage of Scripture in Luke 8, verses 40 to 48, and I'm reading from the Message version, and then we'll see where we go from there, because there's a number of things that God spoke to me about in terms of getting the full benefit from our adversity. So it says, on his return, Jesus was welcomed by a crowd. Then there's a chunk of Scripture that talks about Jairus' daughter. I'm moving on from there. In the crowd that day, there was a woman who for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. She had spent every penny she had on doctors, but no one had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. And at that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "But Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens of people have touched you." And Jesus insisted, "Someone touched me. I felt power discharging from me." When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt trembling before him. In front of all the people, she blurted out her story. Why she touched him and how at that same moment she was healed. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed." And I just read that, and again, particularly in in this version, those words of Jesus that just said to her, "You are now healed and whole, live well," after 12 years of living in isolation, in shame, the cost of all of the doctors and what have you. But she somehow managed to find it in her to stand firm and endure and persevere and have faith that at some point in time this situation would be resolved. So as I've been thinking about this, a word came to mind as I was praying into this whole area of what it means to really see opportunity or benefit in our adversity. And that word is expectation. And there's a number of things around expectation that I think, and again, this woman in scripture probably through her time of adversity went through all of these things. So in terms of adversity, to gain full benefit, you need to expect to firstly grow. It is in this place of testing and challenge that there is real opportunity to grow and enlarge and stretch. And that's in our faith, our maturity, our intimacy with God, no matter how dark that place is. It's usually in these places that you see growth and maturity. And I know last year when times were really, really quite just challenging for Dave and I, this is where we grew. There's no doubt about that. We grew in our faith. And I'm not sure if you've heard of a phrase, or actually it's a title of the poem, The Dark Night of the Soul. Has anybody heard of that? The St. John of the Cross poem from 1500s. Look at me. Yeah. But the dark night of the soul is a really interesting phrase, and it's often used to describe spiritual dryness and the absence of experiencing the presence of God. And it is in the place of adversity that you can really have these kind of what is, I suppose, a dark night of the soul, really painful periods of your life. And it's really interesting if you read the poem, if that's your thing and you like reading these things. But the poem's really interesting because what you see is, even in the depths of despair, St. John of the Cross's eyes were fixed on the Lord. He was fully abandoned to be able to leave that care behind him, because he knew that being in God, growing in him, was the place to be. And there's this beautiful, beautiful four lines, and it says, "I remained lost in oblivion." Again, some of you might feel that you're just in this place of oblivion where you just can't see through what you're going through. I'm going to put in a but here. "But my face I reclined on the Beloved." I mean, that's not language we would necessarily use, but we might say, I don't know, "I sat down with the Lord and I rested in him. All ceased and I abandoned myself." So he was completely abandoned to the Lord, leaving my cares forgotten among the lilies. And I just think that's a really lovely place to start, because that's what we need to do in this place of adversity to grow, is to leave all of our cares with him, to recline on the chest of the Beloved, to abandon ourselves to him. And 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ." Hebrews 6 verse 1 says, talks about, now this is really funny in the Message, I love it. "So come on, let's leave the preschool finger painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ." This is where you're going to grow up. In the place of adversity, you will grow up in Christ. And it's painful. Being stretched is painful. I can remember growing pains as a teenager. Actually, raising teenagers was pretty painful, to be honest. Actually, we got through it really, really well. But this is the place where you see the most benefit. And when we remain in that place and stay close to him and abide in him, growth is the product of that abiding. And we see that, don't we, in John 15 and verse 5, where it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." I think in these times of adversity, you need to learn to expect to hear his voice. And you need to develop and practice that. We all need to do that. We all need to get better at listening to the Holy Spirit, leaning into his word. It's the place where the unclear will become clear, that lies become truth and where hope is found. And I know for me, at this moment in time, I'm not particularly in a place of adversity, there is no better place for me than being in the Word of God at the moment, at this moment in time. Psalm 119, verses 35 to 37 from the ESV says, "Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, your words, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways." I've been reading through Proverbs quite slowly, actually, because there's been quite a lot that's spoken to me. But in Proverbs 4, there's a whole raft of things. I'll just skip through some things. And this whole thing around learning to hear God's voice and gain insight. It says, "Be attentive that you may gain insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let the word escape from your sight. Keep it in your heart. Ponder the word, for they will give you life." It's those words that will give you life, and it will give you healing to your body, to your mind, to your situation, whatever it is you find yourself in. Look forward, ponder the path ahead, and stand firm. So, yeah, we need ears not only to hear and listen, but to, as his sheep and as followers of Jesus, to know and to recognise his voice for the place we find ourselves in. You know, Matthew 11 and 15 says, and this is the ESV, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The message says, are you listening to me, really listening? Which I think is interesting, isn't it? We all need to be really listening. And then in John 10, verses 27 to 28, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of your hand, out of my hand." The message says, "My sheep recognize my voice." Do you recognize the voice of the Lord in your adversity? This is the place to learn to do that. I also think you need to expect to evolve. And for me, this is about the shift in the mindset. And I often talk about this, don't I, moving from very fixed mindsets to very mindsets that are more fluid and more able to be more creative and willing to change. This is the part, I think, in adversity where you move your thinking from the seemingly impossible to what is possible. But you need to be able to also embrace uncertainty and discomfort expectantly for what is to come. You know, Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And that's a far more powerful thing than just thinking yourself into that. It's the power of God that makes what seems impossible possible. And nothing is impossible with God. Oswald Chambers said, and I read this out in, I think it was the last, not the last prayer meeting, the one before, when we were talking about the uncertain path, and that's been a feature of a lot of what's being spoken into us at the moment, is around that embracing uncertainty piece, which, you know, he describes it as, "Certainty is the mark of the common sense life. Gracious uncertainty is the mark of a spiritual life. To be certain of God means that we are uncertain in all of our ways. We do not know what a day may bring forth." This is generally said with a sigh of sadness. We want to see what's going to happen next. We want to see an end to whatever it is we're going through. But we should do it with an expression of breathless expectation. And that's really hard when you're in stuff. We are uncertain of the next step, but we are certain of God. And I think that's the evolution, is you need to be certain that God's got you and he holds you. And even though things are wobbly and all over the place, the impossible is possible with God. I think you need to expect to get stronger. And this, for me, is all about enduring patiently. It's about persevering. It's about keeping going. It's about not giving up. And all of that requires effort. But it also requires a pace to be set. Because some of these adverse situations, they're long haul. You know, some of these things that you may be going through have been going on for years, for a long time. And that's hard. And you've got to be patient, and you've got to endure, and you've got to persevere. Because we're called, aren't we, to run with endurance the race that is set before us. But I might change that word run to bimble, maybe. It's a new word. I like that. When I run, it's a shuffle. That's what we say. I'm going for a shuffle. And then Romans 5, verse 3 to 5 in the ESV says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So, endurance and perseverance are a really interesting thing. And over the last week or so, I've had an opportunity to test my endurance and my perseverance in that me, Pete, Michelle and Sue decided it'd be a good idea to one day on our holiday walk up Penyfan. Didn't really know what that might entail or what that was about, but we're up for adventures, so we just go, yeah, we're going to do this thing, and off we go. It was a really, really hot day. So off we went, the four of us, two dogs. And we're sort of starting off on this path, and I suppose we didn't really know whether that was the mountain or not, so we just started on this path thinking, all right, here we go. But it was actually quite difficult. And it was interesting, that first part, because we could have so easily gone, oh, I ain't doing this anymore, we'll just sit here and whoever wants to go on, they can go on. But we didn't. We kept going, and we helped one another and supported one another. And then we got to a particular place, and you couldn't quite work out whether there was this sort of hill thing that was over there, whether that was the top or not, or whether it was somewhere we couldn't see. And that's often the way, isn't it? Is actually the top of the thing you can't quite see. So we'd ask some people, where's the end? Right? Because you need to know where the end is. Like, oh, it's over there. You can go up that one if you want a little extra bit. And it's like, well, no, we don't really want an extra bit at this time. So we went on, and actually the last bit was actually a lot easier than the going up the first bit, where actually probably Michelle and I could have just gone, yeah, we're not doing any more of that. We've given it a go. We're happy with it. So we did it. We got to the top and we sat there, and it was absolutely beautiful, and it was so worth it. And that sense of achievement through us persevering, which was quite challenging, it was just fabulous. And then on the way back, we did go up the second hill, but that was a bit fraught with its own challenges in that there was some clambering to be done. So we had to properly, you know, clamber is the best word to describe. But actually, what was worse about this whole Penyfan experience was the going down. Oh, gosh. And the thing is, with the going down, we could have chosen not to go up. We could have stopped and gone, right, we're not going. There weren't any choice. And I said to Pete, I said, the end doesn't look like it's coming. It don't look like it's coming quick enough. And it was really hard on the body, and we're still feeling it a bit, if we're honest. Now, but it was interesting because we had to finish. There was no choice. But we did it. And, I was really proud of myself because I can't remember the last time I did anything like that. So it was really good. But it was a real lesson, I think, to endure, to be patient, to persevere, to not give up. But it did require effort, and it did require us to set a bit of a pace because we couldn't do it really quick. I mean, there were fellas running up the thing, you know, with backpacks on, probably military. And that was, we weren't going at that pace. We paced ourselves well, and we did it within the bounds of our ability. And I suppose the thing is that, you know, adversity, and that felt slightly adverse at the time, it will forge us and it will shape us and allow us to fully go through it. But we can't avoid the pain that goes through it. And it's so interesting, isn't it? Because often when we're in a tough place, we'll ask God to remove ourselves from the place that we find ourselves in, which is a natural thing, isn't it? Nobody wants to be going through the tough stuff of life. So we say, Lord, remove me. But it's actually probably not a beneficial, I'd say it lightly, beneficial prayer to pray, because what you're going through will teach you some stuff, and there will be benefit for all that. And I was listening to John Mark Comer the other day talk. He was talking about the Dark Night of the Soul, and he had read somewhere or heard somewhere that if you ask God to take yourself out of the situation, he can do that. Of course he can. He can do that immediately. But where he'll place you back to will be before where you've come. So it's not like he would take you out of your thing and then you'd be like amazingly a million steps forward. there may be a consequence to being removed from your thing too early. So just be mindful of that. Again, interesting thoughts there. And I think in this is the place as well where you've got to look after yourself so you don't burn out. You've got to love yourself in the place of adversity. And you've got to prioritise well, which may mean you've got to stop doing some things for a time, let go of some things, the things that might even be hindering your breakthrough. And that's really hard for people that enjoy being busy, to put stuff down, to put it to one side, to look after themselves in this space. And I read a Pete Gregg Instagram post this week, and it's probably all over his other social media platforms as well. And he's talked about navigating the season where there's a lull after a very busy season. So for him, he's just come out of a season of preaching a million times, travelling, festivals, book writing, all of these things. And now he's in this lull. And he talks about going slow, low and steady. It's really worth a read, because I think actually it can equally be applied to being in crisis. So he's applying it for coming out of a very busy, highly spiritual charged situation, which is amazing, you know, swinging from the chandeliers, what that looks and feels like. But actually in a crisis, you need to think about going slow, low and steady. Worth a read if you're into that sort of thing. And then lastly, and this is one, we have to expect that we will be better when we come out of our adversity. And that's not just about being better for ourselves, but this is so that we can use our experiences to speak into others' lives and support them through adversity. I'm not going to expand on that anymore, because Val at the end, after I do my conclusion, is going to share a testimony of how she has been able to use adversity in her own life to support somebody else from a place of empathy. And I think probably a beautiful scripture that underpins all of these things here in terms of the expectation. And it's a shame Helen Gossage has had to leave us, because this is one of her life scriptures. She quotes this one often, but it's wonderful. And it's Romans 12, verse 12, and it says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in troubles, don't quit, be constant in prayer and commune with God at all times." That's a mishmash of a number of versions, but in particular, I like the communing with God at all times, I think, underpins all of this. So in conclusion, adversity will make us better and give us opportunity if we let it do its work through the power of the Holy Spirit and in close communion with God. And when we do that, full benefit will be realised. We'll hear those words from Jesus, "Go live a whole and blessed life." But as with all things, not just in the Christian walk, but in life, there's a choice. You can either quit or keep going. They're both going to hurt. Keeping going will lead you to that deeper place of intimacy with God, though, and a supernatural joy in the pain. It's amazing, isn't it? I think, you know, back to that woman in the story, I think she was able to somehow have a supernatural joy in her pain. And Psalm 27 and verses 5 to 6 says, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." Quitting or giving up is likely to have an adverse reaction. It's likely to cause you to question, where is God? It might make you angry. It might make you cynical. It might raise a whole set of questions. In your mind, you'll probably never fully gain closure on that thing if you quit too soon. There's a saying, isn't there? It always seems impossible until it's done. But Romans 8:28 says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Remember that seal saying that I said was one of my favourite? He will always have your six. He will always have your back. And I think we need to remember that seasons of adversity, they aren't forever, although we have to recognise they can last a very long time and feel like a lifetime, and they are never ending. The woman in Luke 8, it was 12 years, but she didn't give up. And so going back to something my mentor, Jen Baker, said, she said, God will give in our hidden, and I've put in brackets, hard seasons, what is needed for our next assignment. So in this hard, difficult season you may find yourself in, he's giving you what you need for the next piece of the story. And then lastly, just to finish before Val comes up and shares her story, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 to 14 says, keep your eyes open, stay alert, hold tight firmly to your convictions, to what you believe, give it all you've got, be resolute, be mighty and full of courage, and love without stopping. Let love be the motivation, be all that you do in your place of adversity. So Val, come on down and share your testimony of how. And again, and this is really just to flesh out that point, and I think it's really good that we do this from time to time, is that the active living word comes to life, doesn't it? Because somebody's done this. So come on down, Val, and away you go.
So this is a testimony from a few weeks ago. So we had a lovely street party to celebrate the coronation, which lasted from about 2 p.m. to about 8:30 p.m. And this was the second one that we had had. And once again, most of the street attended. And I think that God has been at work using the latest party to make things happen. A few days after the party, I went to see my neighbour, Jane, to give her some phone numbers as she has set up a Worcester Close Neighbours WhatsApp group. She was sat in her car on her drive, on her way somewhere, and I was talking to her through the window. We were talking about the lovely party and other general things. Then out of the blue, she started to literally offload lots of personal information about her past and present circumstances, her feelings and difficulties. I was a bit surprised, but I just listened to her. She shared that she was struggling financially at the moment, and there were lots of factors which had led to this, some beyond her control. I listened with empathy. It took me back to 2014 when I was struggling financially. I can remember one week when I went shopping and I only had £15 for a week's shop. I felt so moved and emotional inside, and I wanted to show her God's love and my concern. So I approached the church leadership and asked if they could help her out, just as they had helped me out all those years ago. Later on that evening, she apologised to me for offloading. She said she doesn't normally do that, but it all just came tumbling out because she felt really comfortable talking and confiding in me. Well, the church responded straight away, and I collected a cheque on the Sunday, which I put into a card and delivered to her after church. When she saw it, she got really emotional. And so I gave her a hug, and I could feel that she was shaking. She was so grateful. And last week, she came to Unplugged, as she wanted to say thank you personally. She was very moved in the worship, and I don't think she fully understood what was happening, but I told her not to worry, God was working. Interestingly, after the end of the meeting, we got talking about the Homes Not Houses project, and I explained what this is. And she was very interested and said that she would quite like to be involved in that. She has received a church welcome pack, so watch this space for what God does next in her life.
Thanks, Val. That's great. And again, it's just, you know, Val was able to use her lived experience to then impart into somebody else's life. So, all, you know, the things you go through, they do not go wasted. They will come back and God can use those. So, and it's amazing, and it'll be amazing to see what happens in that lady's life. So, Rich, I'm going to hand back to you to finish off the meeting. But yeah, thanks.